Welcome back to our renamed The Sustainability Report. Today, we're going to focus on EU sustainability regulatory reporting developments. And this space continues to move at an unprecedented speed. If you are used to typical regulatory reporting developments, a lot of US companies are subject to some of the sustainability reporting regulations that are being developed in the EU. So the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, CSRD, the EU Taxonomy, the CSDDD, and approaching these regulations from a non-EU perspective can be tricky because they are drafted with an EU mindset. There's been a lot of noise, discussion, developments recently regarding the current path of regulation and what this regulatory landscape looks like in the short term. So today, we want to break down all the news and chatter for you and try to help you make sense of this recent news and what you should be focused on. So joining me today are my colleagues, Bryce Erhardt and Jan Muller, and I'm going to get started. My name is Louise Santa Cruz. So Jan, in the summer, EU elections were held, and with it came a shift to the right with regards to the European Parliament. And we've been waiting to see what type of impact this has had on the EU Green Deal and some of the EU sustainability reporting regulations that our US listeners care about. So it now seems that we're starting to see what this impact is. And can you walk us through the latest developments?
Yes, Louise, of course. So indeed, I guess in the latest legislative term, the European Green Deal was front and center of political decision making. And you could see so many new regulations coming out of the European Union. From today's perspective, you could almost talk about an overregulation. And so when you look at the messaging that comes out of Brussels right now, it's all about competitiveness, reducing reporting burden, and that kind of messaging. So the European President Ursula von der Leyen herself has gone on record earlier this year and quoted the aim of reducing administrative and reporting burden by up to 25%. We now see the development of a so-called omnibus initiative that is kind of a horizontal measure. That means it addresses various different types of existing legislation and amends them in order to achieve a certain political ambition. And this is currently being debated at light speed, really, to find these measures and address the most important ESG-related reporting requirements that have been created over the past years to achieve this political ambition.
Okay, so Jan, that's a really good overview of what's happening right now. And Bryce, maybe I can turn to you for our US audience. What should they make of the shift away from the EU Green Deal, and if I'm understanding on correctly, and towards reducing this administrative burden by 25%?
I guess what I'd start with is just acknowledging that this political landscape that Jan described is very fast moving, right? And because of that, it's subject to change and change quickly. And given that it's in its infancy still, right, we're just hearing about this omnibus initiative. There's a lot of uncertainty around what it's actually going to mean. What we do know is that the EU is still committed to their Green Deal, and the European Commission has indicated that they don't really want to change the core content of these legislations that you referred to, the CSRD, CSDDD, et cetera. So we don't anticipate that these regulations are going to go entirely away. But we could see some effort to do things like remove duplication amongst them, align scoping requirements, maybe even align definitions across them. We're also hopeful that we will see some further clarity being provided in early 2025 as to what this practically means. So I would recommend to our US and other non-EU listeners, keep an ear to the ground, but also keep in mind that there's a lot of uncertainty over what these objectives will look like in practice. And it's because of this uncertainty that it's not necessarily something you need to significantly change your implementation program around right now. In my conversations with clients, most are following the developments, but have not shifted or changed their implementation programs yet. And that's primarily because of that uncertainty that I was mentioning.
Okay, so they're moving ahead, and that's really important to know. So Bryce, I'm going to ask you to go a little bit further here and start talking about CSRD specifically. I thought CSRD was finalized, but it seems there's still a lot of talk about the CSRD member state transposition process, which from my understanding can result in some changes to CSRD. Can you explain what is transposition? What's the process of transposition and why our listeners need to care about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll dive in here, and Jan probably has some perspectives as well. The CSRD, right, it entered into force in early 2023, and that was the CSRD as written by the European Commission. However, it doesn't become enforceable until it's transposed into the local law of each EU member state. So this process of enactment is considered the transposition process that we hear so much about in the market right now. Each member state had to transpose it into national law within 18 months, and that was the summer of 2024. So during this transposition process, member states can make certain revisions or act on certain options that exist in the CSRD as written by the European Commission. Usually what is done is adding additional conditions or criteria that go above and beyond the CSRD as drawn up by the European Commission. And sometimes you'll hear this being referred to as gold plating.
So, Bryce, the deadline for transposition is ended. So have all the member states wrapped up their transposition at this point, or where are we?
Good call on calling that out. The transposition process should have been wrapped up in all the different member states by summer 2024, right? And so the answer to your question is no. All the member states have not wrapped it up. Some have, some have not. And so we know that a variety of different member states, such as Denmark, Finland, France, Ireland, they've all wrapped up the process. However, most have not actually, including some member states such as Germany, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands, where many U.S. companies have large EU subsidiaries or holding companies that are subject to the CSRD. So that puts into a U.S. company's implementation program a lot of additional uncertainty, which we typically don't like to see. We also know that many of these member states that have not transposed yet are unlikely to transpose by the end of 2024. So Netherlands is part of that, Germany, Spain, etc.
Okay, so then what happens now? And maybe Jan, you can answer this one.
Yeah, this is actually a very interesting question, right? I mean, so far, the European Commission has sent infringement notices to those member states that failed to meet the deadline. We're also aware of one state, which is Sweden, that decided to implement the CSRD, but they put a delay on the effective date. So all those countries have received these notices and had 2 months to respond. I'm not aware of what they responded, and it's now to be seen what the Commission does of it. They can theoretically fine these member states, but what is clear is that as long as the CSRD is not transposed, companies do not have to act on it.
Act on it in those member states?
Exactly, in those member states that haven't transposed, exactly. So right now, we have a patchwork of legislation across Europe that causes significant complexities. In some countries, companies have to report under the CSRD, and in others, companies would still report under the old existing non-financial reporting directive, which is in scope significantly smaller than the CSRD. That obviously creates significant challenges for companies with subsidiaries in multiple countries, because they don't have just one framework to apply. They have to navigate multiple different regimes in different countries.
So do you have any examples? Like, how's it playing out in Germany right now?
Yeah, Germany is a good example because, it was an ambitious timeline from the start, but we had all hoped that we get a finally transposed CSRD by year end. But then last month, the German government blew up. And right now, we don't have clarity for various months. And don't even know if the drafts that they had already prepared will be picked up by the next government and move forward. So what we're currently looking at is what are the problems that result from that. So I just mentioned that if you have, for example, subsidiaries in multiple countries, or you have a subsidiary parent relationship, and the subsidiary, for example, wants to wants to be exempted because it is included in the parent reporting, well, that obviously only works if the parent reports under the proper regime. If we now have a parent in a country such as Germany, where the transposition hasn't been finalized, so the parent would theoretically still report under the old regime, there is uncertainty whether the subsidiary in France, say, could still make use of group exemption rules.
Okay, so Bryce, there's a lot going on with member state transposition, but I think it's important to kind of give some direction about what the next steps are. So thinking about our US multinationals that have to comply with CSRD, most have subs located in not one, but many member states. So how are those companies supposed to navigate CSRD when the member states are enacting the directive differently, or some not even having enacted it yet?
Yeah, it's a good question, Louise, and it's hard to answer, honestly. But I mean, Jan just gave a great example as to why monitoring in the first instance is so critical, because there can be tweaks that need to be made to your reporting strategy as a result of the member state transposition. And so, for example, if you're planning to report in Germany, then there's a lot of discussions, some of the ones that Jan summarized, that need to happen. Now, the good news, though, is that for most U.S. companies, they're not compiling their first CSRD report until 2026, and that's on 2025 information. So while the member state transposition process is dragging out, and there is a lot of uncertainty around what it means in certain member states like Germany, the Netherlands, Spain, etc., there's still time for member states to sort that out, and there's still time to incorporate any tweaks or gold plating that happen into your implementation program. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't keep track of what's happening across the Atlantic. To go to your question more directly, Louise, still need to have a good idea as to where you're going to file or publish your CSRD report. And to Jan's point, where your subs, which are going to apply that group exemption, where they are domiciled. You'll need to care about those member state transpositions as well and monitor them as they go through this process.
But what parts of the transpositions should they care about?
Okay. Yeah. Fair question. So Jan was referring to this thing called the group exemption. To summarize that again, the group exemption allows an EU sub to refer to a consolidated report, which includes the sustainability information of that sub. And when it does that, it exempts that subsidiary from compiling its own sustainability reporting. So tracking the applicability of that group exemption through the member state transposition process is critical. That, to me, is the most important part of the transposition process that US and other non-EU companies should be following. Because I have not talked to a US company or other non-EU company that is not going to leverage that group exemption.
Yeah, maybe to jump in there, that is really a critical message to understand, because it depends on each individual national member state what they will require in their national law in order to make a group exemption work. And maybe they are very, very detailed and specific, and maybe they are not, right? If they are not, you could probably just look at the European law overarching CSRD and commission issued FAQs, and there you go. But if they are very specific, you might follow these much more granular and specific steps. And we had hoped that all the member state laws would be around by now, and we have total clarity, and we have a big map worked out where there are these distinct requirements. But since so many countries lag behind, we don't have this map yet. And so there is a whole lot of uncertainty around, which really requires to be closely engaged with subsidiaries and lawyers or accountants on the ground who are knowledgeable about the current situation.
But other than closely tracking the group exemption rules, what are some of the other areas around transposition that companies need to be focused on when they're monitoring status?
Well, I would probably pick up one more thing that comes up quite a bit and we haven't talked about yet at all, which is the European taxonomy. So maybe some of you have heard of that already. That is a very, very complex framework that sits alongside the CSRD. It is mostly about financial information. It basically tags financial information with sustainable activities of the company. Maybe we see some revision on that through the Omnibus initiative as well. But in any case, the taxonomy is a European legislation that does not require national transposition. So the taxonomy is in effect anyways, independent of national transposition. So far, it was simple. Whoever does CSRD also does taxonomy. But now we have a disconnect. Whoever should be doing CSRD, if national transposition was complete, has to do taxonomy. But CSRD reports are only mandatory for those companies that are located in countries where the transposition is final. So that's just something to watch out for example, among many other things.
So Bryce, I'd like to kind of switch topics, not really switch topics, but get into a very important aspect for those outside the EU. That's the non-EU parent reporting. Recent news swirling is that the EFRAG is about to issue a proposal on non-EU ESRS standards, what they're calling NESRS. So can you explain a little bit about what is NESRS?
Let's just start with the basics here. So typically for a US company or other non-EU company, there's a couple of primary ways it could get sucked into CSRD reporting. The first would be if they are a listed company on an EU-regulated market. If that is your scenario, then you have to do reporting under the full set of ESRSs, that which is currently available. Now, we know that most US companies do not fall into that bucket. There are some, and hopefully there's some that are listening. But the other way that a company could fall into scope of the CSRD is if they have a physical presence in the EU, so they likely have a sub that's in scope of the CSRD, and they do a certain amount of business in the EU. In that type of scenario, the CSRD would require reporting as well, but that reporting would be under a reduced set of ESRSs. That's those NESRSs that you're talking about. And when we talk about developments with the NESRSs, as you're asking about, Louise, we're really focused on that reporting for those companies that have that large physical presence in the EU. Now, what I'd also like to acknowledge here, I referred to it earlier, we have a lot of US companies that are going to voluntarily comply with the CSRD at that global parent level, and they want to exempt their subs, their EU subs, from their own reporting. To do that, they have to compile a CSRD report that includes the full set of ESRSs that are currently available. And if it does that, it also is availing itself of its own obligation to comply with the NESRSs. So in this case, we have a global parent that is complying with the full set of ESRSs. It does not need to do NESRS reporting. So I just wanted to mention that as well. But hopefully that gives you a little context as to what we're talking about here.
Okay. And the timing of that, the proposal is going to be out early 2025, and it'll take a while for it to get through the comment process and actually be issued.
Yeah. So what we're expecting at this point from a timing perspective, I know we haven't talked about what's in these yet, but just from a timing perspective, we're expecting exposure draft from EFRAG in Q1 of 2025. And then the standards, once it goes through that public consultation, they react to the comments. The expectation is that in November of 2025, they'll submit to the European Commission those draft standards. And then by end of June 2026, the European Commission has to adopt those standards.
Okay, so we now understand what the purpose is of the non-EU reduced set of ESRS, but Jan, maybe you could walk us a little bit through, you know, what some of the differences are and what the latest is on them.
Yes, happy to. So the non-ESRS standard is really focused on impact reporting So it's not so much about what companies are currently reporting when you look into the financial statements about effects on the company. It's really about the effects that a company has on the world or on their employees or on their customers, right? So it's a different perspective that companies need to report on. And there is currently a discussion, and this is probably something that will be one question when they go on a public consultation with these standards, whether the information should be limited to the impacts caused by the products that actually go into the European market, or whether it should incorporate impacts from the entire organization, no matter where the product ultimately ends up in. So that's a debate that's still going on, and it is not yet confirmed whether this provision will be included or excluded into this standard to limit information really to those kinds of activities.
So it sounds like there is a lot of uncertainty with CSRD, but this is actually a place where time is on US preparer's side.
Yeah, I agree with that, Louise. I think especially from a reporting perspective, right? Like if a company is going to report under these standards, that reporting has to be done for FY28. So there is time to do it. And I mentioned earlier that the European Commission is going to be adopting these standards by June 30th, 2026. So there is time to get there still, but there's going to also be time to support the implementation of them. What I'll acknowledge firstly is Jan talked about that scope limitation. That's something that caught a lot of people by surprise, including myself. So most are still trying to digest what it could mean practically from an implementation perspective and also from a reporting perspective. So there's still a lot, like Jan referred to be sorted around that. But when the public consultation comes out, hopefully early 2025, one important thing that you can do is participate in that public consultation. We really encourage you to participate in that process, especially to share opinions on that scope limitation if it shows up in any way.
I really want to thank you both. Thanks, Jan. Thank you, Bryce, for joining me on my first stint as moderator of the Sustainability Report. And I really look forward to doing many more with you both. Don't miss any future financial reporting episodes. Subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll tune in again for the Sustainability Report.